psalm for giving grateful praise. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise, giving thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. This is the 100th Psalm. Please turn them. Now, as we approach Thanksgiving, let's look at this most beautiful Psalm of Thanksgiving. And as we look at the subject of Thanksgiving today, it will remind us of things that I think that we already know. But there's also an aspect of praise and thanks that we might not realize, because this act opens us up to something very powerful in our lives. So to start, let's look at Psalms 100. And notice five things that it instructs us to do. Verse 1, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. So the first charge is in verse 1, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. I mean, the word shout means to proclaim with the force of a trumpet blast. A shout for joy to the Lord that comes from the very depths of our being. You know, maybe he solved one of your problems. Maybe he's given you a direction to go. Maybe as he has provided you with the blessings, for from the depths of your being, you want to proclaim his praise. I mean, this is what the psalmist is saying. Suddenly you realize that God has been so good to you that you just can't keep it inside. From the very depths of your being, you express your joy unto the Lord. Now you might say, yeah, you know, that's not really me. I'm kind of a quiet person. I'm reserved. You know, I don't do stuff like that. Well, this is not about us. It's about praising God that we owe everything to. I mean, if this is hard for you, start by doing it when you're at home alone. Or when you're in your car going to work, let people look at you and think, look at that crazy person in that car. I mean, proclaim, shout out to God your joy. Verse 2, worship the Lord with gladness. I mean, the word worship is a Hebrew word that means serve. So the second charge for us is to serve the Lord with gladness. Serving is totally giving of yourself to God in all of our actions. The third instruction says, come before him with joyful, come before him with joyful songs. Psalms 98 verse 4 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And again, some of us are better than this than others. But when we sing at church, I mean, we should at least be thinking and feeling what the words mean. I mean, it's appropriate also to sing to God when you're alone. I mean, make up a song and sing your praise to God. That's appropriate. That's a good thing to do. So have you noticed that these first three instructions here that God has given us, God is saying, I want you to be happy. Shout for joy, serve with gladness, and come with joyful song. I mean, don't we serve a good God? He wants us to be happy. The psalmist is saying, come before him, God, and serve him and sing his praise with joy in your heart. The fourth charge here is, know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. I mean, God took every bone every joint and welded them together with muscles and covered them with skin. And he gave us eyes that we could see and a brain that we could think and fingers that we could pick things up and feel. I mean, God has made us inside and out. He made us the way that he wants us to be. And he is still in the process of making us. It's important to realize, too, that he's not satisfied with this unfinished product. He's not satisfied with the weak areas in our life. So he is still making us. He is still working in our lives. Philippians 1, verse 3 and verse 6, it says, I thank my God every time I remember you, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And God is our maker. We are created in his image. Therefore, give him thanks for who we are. God is our maker. He created us. Then he says, we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. I mean, he's saying, you be the sheep, let me be the shepherd. I will lead you beside the still waters and the green pastures. Just let me lead. I mean, life can be hard sometimes. I mean, to have a God that is leading us and protecting us, I mean, think about just how amazing that is. Finally, instruction number 5. It says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise, giving thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. In the Old Testament, the temple symbolized the presence of God. So whenever the people came to the temple and entered the courtyards, they knew they were coming into the presence of God. So verse 4 says, enter the gates with thanksgiving. Well, what do you start with? You start with the gate. The beginning, the very first thing as we approach God should be thankful, should be with thanksgiving. He is with us as you drive on the highway. He's with us when you're at work. He's with us when we care for our children or our grandchildren. He's with us every moment of our life. I mean, that, when you think about it, is truly a source of thanksgiving. For the verse 5, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. Because here is where we begin to see the powerful thing thanksgiving brings into our lives. In Philippians 4, verse 6, it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. What are we anxious about? How do we pray and ask for things from God? Well, thanksgiving is the very first step in approaching God and really tapping into the power that he is offering us, that he has promised us. I mean, let's look at a few examples of this. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. And we'll start in verse 13. Here we have Solomon completing the temple of God and bringing the ark from Zion into this new temple. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 13, it says, the trumpeters and musicians joined in unison to give praise and thanks to the Lord. Accompanied by trumpets and cymbals and other instruments, the singer raised their voice in praise to the Lord and sang, he is good, his love endures forever. Then the temple of the Lord was filled with the cloud, and the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the temple of God. You know, some here might think, you know, really, God should have thanked Solomon for building him a house. But Solomon had the correct perspective. We are totally dependent on God. We should be grateful when we even have a God, when you think about it, that God is there for us. Well, when did God's presence and power come into this situation? Well, it came as they gave praise and thanked God. I mean, let's look at another powerful example in 2 Chronicles. Let's go to chapter 20. And here we have an example of Jehoshaphat and this huge army. In fact, I think it was three armies that came together to wage war against him. In verse 2, it says, people came to him and said, there's this vast army that's coming against you. Verse 4, the people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Well, Jehoshaphat then in verses 5 and on started praying to God about the good things that God has done for him. And here's a great example of how to approach God and pray when you want something. Verse 12 says, we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. And then this prophet came to them, and in verse 15 says, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. So they kind of prepared and started to march down for them. Verse 21, and after consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, giving thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. And they began to sing and praise right before they approached and went into this incredible battle with this huge army. Verse 24, when they got to the place and they overlooked the desert at this vast army, they only saw dead bodies. I mean, verse 30, and the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. God stepped in and just totally wiped out this army. I mean, again, if you look at verses 21 and 22, they begin to praise and thank God. And then God's presence and power came among them. I mean, the battles in our lives, they're not ours. I mean, this is a great example that these battles in our lives are God's battle. I mean, wow, think about that. Another example, let's look at Jesus in John 6. Jesus is with his disciples, and he tells his disciples, there's this huge crowd following us, we need to feed them. And his disciples start panicking, we don't have enough food for these people. And you know the story. In verse 4, look at verse, John 6, verse 11. Jesus took the loaves, he gave thanks, and then he distributed it to those who were seated as much as they wanted. I mean, what was the first thing that Jesus did before this miracle happened? He gave thanks. The first thing that Jesus did was give thanks. And then what happened? Well, the power of God created a miracle. Are we starting to see that the power of God in this sort of relationship with thanksgiving? And again, in Matthew 15, there's another story where Jesus feeds another 4,000. And in verse 36, he took the 7 loaves of fish, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples to distribute. I mean, again, Jesus didn't get anxious. He didn't worry. He didn't complain. He was anxious about nothing. He gave thanks. I mean, this incredible key to God's power in our life is thanksgiving. Another example of Jesus in John 11, when Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. We know the story. He died and they buried him. He was in the cave in John 11 for 4 days. And when Jesus got there in verse 41, so they took away the stone and Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me." And then Lazarus came out and the dead man was raised. Again, Jesus' first words were, "I thank you." There's no complaining, no freaking out, because he'd been in there for 4 days. His first thought, his first reaction was thanksgiving. I mean, faith is released through thanksgiving. Fear is released when we complain. You know, when we complain, we are out of God's will. We're not in alignment with God and his word when we complain. I mean, God has power we can use in our life. And God here is teaching us and showing us how to live, how to access that power. I mean, we can break through to a new level of living if we put this into practice in our lives. I mean, think about the horrible example of ancient Israel. I mean, all that God did to them to give them freedom from the bondage of Egypt. And they complained about every little problem. They focused on what God had not done for them instead of what God had done for them. I mean, and then I think this is one of the scariest passages in the Bible, Numbers verse 14. And Numbers 14 is this incredibly sober warning for us. Verse 26, and the Lord said to Moses, after these people were complaining and complaining and complaining, "How long will this wicked community grumble against me? I have heard the complaints of these grumbling Israelites. So tell them, as surely as they live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very thing that I heard you say." And then you can keep going and see that God took his blessings away from them and did to them the exact thing that they were complaining about. You know, I have verses 26 and 27 underlined in my Bible. It's in page 216. I know exactly where it is. And every time I catch myself complaining, I mean, I'll turn here. I remember when I lost my job. I had worked at my job for 27 years. And all of a sudden, I was gone. They got rid of me. I just lost my job, and I'm thinking, there's no other jobs like this out there for me. I'm way too old for anybody to hire me. I'm never gonna find what I wanna do. And then all of a sudden, it's like, and I heard the complaints of this grumbling Kent. So I told him, "As surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very things that I heard you, Kent, say." And then you gotta remind yourself, "Oh, wait, forgive me. I'm thankful for the blessing that you gave. I'm thankful that I had this incredible job for 27 years. I'm thankful that you are a powerful God in my life. You will lead me into the future and show me my path. I'm thankful for the new opportunities. I will not be anxious about anything, but I'll make my request with thanksgiving." I mean, words are powerful. Complaining gets us out of this thankful mode. And then this incredible miracle happens to me that sometime I'll tell you about, just how awesome what happened to me was. And yet I had to remind myself, just like we all do, sometimes we got to get out of complaining. That's when we're out of God's will. We're out of alignment with the way that God thinks for us. Go back to Philippians 4, verse 6. Because God really wants us to focus on the positive, no matter what is happening in our lives. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure and lovely and admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or have heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Focus on the positive. And we do that by being thankful. I mean, life is short, but Jesus Christ is giving us eternity. I mean, that is why we should always stay in a thankful mode, no matter what is happening to us temporarily. I mean, another example of Jesus that he gave us is the parable of the unmerciful servant, Matthew 18. And you're all familiar with the parable where this guy owed his master like this huge amount of money, and his master forgave him, and then he went to somebody who owed him just a little bit of money, and he would not forgive him. I mean, by not forgiving others, we're really showing God we aren't grateful for what he has done for us. I mean, something bad might happen, and we say, well, I don't deserve this. This isn't fair. But when you think about it, do you really want God to treat us fair? Because if God treated us fair, you know what that is? Death. That's God being fair with us. I mean, if we do not forgive, if we are not thankful, if we complain about unfairness, I mean, do you see, like, by this parable how that's sort of out of alignment, how that doesn't make sense in our lives? Ingratitude for a believer is inappropriate. There's no other way to say it. It's not appropriate for us Christians to not be thankful, to not forgive. We need to connect with God, what God has done for us in the past, what God is doing us for today, and think about what God will do for us in the future. And eternal life, salvations, all the blessings that we have. This helps us, when we dwell on this and stay positive, to stay in the thankful mode. We need to be careful of things that get us out of this get us in the state of ingratitude, unforgiveness, disobedience, pride, envy, greed, complaining, discouragement, self-pity, not rejoicing. That gets us in the wrong frame of mind. Psalm 75. Verse 1, we give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks, for your name is near. Men tell of your wonderful deeds. Psalms 92, a psalm for a Sabbath day. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name. Proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. Psalms 95, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving. Psalms 105, give thanks to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts. Psalms 106, praise the Lord, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Psalms 107, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. I mean, there's just example after example of David and Solomon who wrote the Psalms praising God and giving thanks to God. It's all over the Bible and throughout the Bible on how we should approach God. I mean, Jesus gave another example in Luke 22, verse 19. And he took the bread, he gave thanks, and he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, this is my body given to you. Do this in remembrance of me. Jesus stops first and gives thanks. I mean, it is right That is the example for us. I mean, and look at Paul. Look how Paul starts just about every one of his books. Romans 1, verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you because of your faith. Corinthians 1, verse 4. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given to you in Christ Jesus. Colossians 1. We always thank God the Father of our Lord. 1 Thessalonians. We always thank God for you and continually mention you in our prayers. 2 Thessalonians, we ought to always thank God for you. I mean, Paul, just about every one of his books, he starts with thanksgiving. Make thanksgiving part of your lifestyle. Make it part of who you are. Psalms 50, verse 9. I have no need of a bull from your stall or a goat from your pens. For every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know every bird in the mountains, and the insects in the fields are mine. If I were hungry, I would tell you, for the world is mine and all that is in it. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Sacrifice thank offerings to God. Verse 14. Fulfill your vows to the Most High. And call on me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you will honor me. God is not looking for animal sacrifices. He's looking for a grateful attitude. And he's not hungry. He wants his people. He wants his people's hearts to him, to thank him. Romans 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Colossians 3, verse 17. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Psalms 89, verse 1. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever with my mouth. I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 says, rejoice always. I mean, being thankful is so important. It is a prelude to God's power in our life. And cultivate a life of thanksgiving. But by learning to give thanks to God obediently, even when you don't feel like it. I mean, cultivate a life of thanksgiving by giving thanks repeatedly. Cultivate a life of thanksgiving by expanding your thanks to God. Tell him why you are thankful. Now, I think when you get birthday cards from people and you open it up and it's just the writing, the printed writing, and they sign their name, okay, that's nice, thanks. But when somebody writes out a message, don't you stop and then read what they wrote? Well, do that to God. Express to God in detail what you are thankful for. He's interested in that, and that is good for us. You know, cultivate a life of thanksgiving by expecting nothing. I mean, we are called to serve. Cultivate a life of thanksgiving by appreciating everything. I mean, we also cultivate a life of thanksgiving by repenting immediately if we have to, and recognizing when we are complaining or we're in a state of ingratitude. Leviticus 22, verse 29 says, when you sacrifice a thank offering to the Lord, sacrifice it in such a way that it will be accepted on your behalf. I mean, give thanks from the heart. Make thanksgiving a matter of the heart. Make it part of who you are. So in conclusion, Psalms 136. Again, in other Psalms, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, the God of gods, for his love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his love endures forever. To him alone does great wonders. His love endures forever. Who by his understanding made the heavens? His love endures forever. We serve a great God. We serve a good God. Lamentations 3, verse 22, it says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. I mean, our God is perfect. Our God is pure and uncompromised. Our God is holy. We, on the other hand, are sinful. We're wicked. We're unholy. That's our nature. Psalms 103. When you think about that, in Psalms 103, verse 11, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are just dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it's gone. And its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. I mean, we truly are a blessed people. We truly have much to be thankful for. I mean, thanksgiving is not the only thing to receive God's blessing, but it really is the first step to get us in the right frame of mind to receive that blessings and to receive the power of God. So let's remember always to be a thankful people.